side aisle and pass them down the pew so that you may greet one another by name following worship. We also, any information you would like to share with us, we would be happy to have so that we might keep you up to date with what's happening week to week around here, because there are many things happening week to week around here in these days. And please take time to join us for a time of fellowship in the Hope Room following the worship service, which is the room immediately behind the sanctuary. After worship downstairs this morning at about 11:30, we will begin a program which will last no more than an hour, a program on housing rights issues, which you can find more about in your bulletin this morning, particularly pertaining to gays and lesbians, but really more broadly understood in the housing discrimination rules of the state. Susan Procht will be with us leading that presentation. Tomorrow, inside your bulletin, there's an insert about the various activities that are happening this month with the Rhode Island Organizing Project, and the first of which is tomorrow afternoon, which is the Governor's Candidates Forum on senior issues in particular, but I'm sure they'll be answering questions about all kinds of issues that we're all interested in. And there are details about that are in the bulletin. You can talk to Murray Blackadar. We will be carpooling from here at about 12:15 for that event. We have the Nurture team has consulted and has checked the forecast for this week, and it's terrible for Tuesday. So we are going to not have barbecue on this Tuesday. We will move to the next week, and so anyone that you know of that you can spread the word to, we'd appreciate it, but we will not have the summer barbecue this week, but we'll resume again through the rest of August the week following on the 12th. On the bulletin board in the Hope Room is also the Camp Street volunteer sign up, and a lot of our regular volunteers for Camp Street are away that weekend. So if you would like to volunteer to be part of the Camp Street effort, let me know. I plan to be there that morning, and hope that some of you might sign up to lend us a hand at least this one time. We've also been invited to Vacation Bible School at Central Congregational Church, so if any children want to participate in that, you will find the information on the Nurture bulletin board in the Hope Room as well. Please note that for the last month, we have been attempting to sing new words to the doxology. That might have passed by some of you. It is projected on the screen, but the worship committee has approved the singing of new words to the doxology, and we've been trying to do that for about a month, but people are singing whatever they would like to sing. So if you would like to sing the words that are printed in the bulletin, we're not going to do anything to you if you don't, but you're invited to try out these new words for the doxology. Let us then are there any other announcements in the congregation for today? Let us then prepare to worship God.
Please join in the responsive call to worship as printed in the bulletin. Come before God as a family of Christ's people, in whom our risen Lord lives and serves. How blessed you are when you reach out to do more than the expected. Those who give support to the righteous shall receive the reward of a righteous person. All who risk themselves for Christ's sake will find abundant life through the cross. Please be seated. It's pretty clear that Jesus thought we were all in the same boat. You can't be much clearer than let him or her who is without sin cast the first stone. So we've all got our litany of sins to confess. Let us join now in a time of confession, first in silence and then followed by the unison prayer as printed in the bulletin. Join with me, God of all life. We are not eager to take up a cross to follow Jesus. We would rather help out in safe places where we can protect those persons and things most dear to us. We have favorite sins we would like to continue rather than follow the path you chose for us. We know that life for us is not all it is meant to be. We long for true reconciliation with your purposes for us. Forgive us, we pray, that we might die to sin and rise to new life in Christ, in whose name we pray. In the merciful and forgiving name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we find that our sins are forgiven. Be blessed.
Gather joys and concerns. First of all, I omitted saying thanks to Reverend Steve Nelson for stepping in to be co-pastor this morning and leading worship while Pastor B is on study leave. She does return late tonight and back into the office on Tuesday. And we have a number of prayer concerns before we get into all of the ones that we have here. I noticed that, I don't want to draw attention to them, but I'm not even going to say anything. On that, because that would draw attention to them. We would like to be lifting up in prayer this week particularly Elena, our organist's cousin Jan, from Danish cousin Jan, who is having surgery for kidney cancer this week. So we ask your prayers for that as well. And I would like to ask if there are other joys and concerns to celebrate and bring before one another and God this morning.
Walter has decided to remain in the nursing home for safety's sake, and I am very grateful for the staff at the Westview Nursing Home and for the hospice. So I'd like prayers for him.
Okay, thanks. Others?
Yeah. I'm just asking for continuous prayers for Malika and Andrew as their big day approaches.
Definitely. Definitely. Prayers for that in the next couple of weeks. That day approaches. Others this morning.
Just prayers of joy and thanksgiving for a very smooth move for us and for my parents for helping us so much this week. We're, I would say, like 80% unpacked even because they are just amazing people. So we couldn't have done it without them.
Amen. Thanks be to God for parents and that. Okay. Also like to share a joy that my mother came through her heart surgery very well on Thursday and is home recuperating and enjoyed celebrating her birthday yesterday.
It's real joy to be back after a couple of weeks with my foot up after just a little minor surgery. So I have great joy for, my ability to come back to this community that I love so much. My prayer this week has been for Zach Sharp. I am so scared for him. And I'm trying to be brave because I don't want Zach to be ill. And I know that that's an irrational fear, and that he's probably, and because he's not a caregiver, he's not going to have Ebola. But let's pray for all those caregivers and medical people in Liberia that are working with people that are ill with this terrible, terrible illness. And, you know, keep Zach in your heart.
And all the places in Africa where there is Ebola threatening.
It's joyous to say that yesterday is my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Nicholas.
I have a joy. My brother spent about 5 days with me over in Connecticut, and he's been battling cancer for 6 years, but he's a tough one. So with all your prayers, I'd like to again thank this congregation. I know that's where it come from for him and his doctors, so thank you very much.
And we know through Julie what sturdy stock he comes from in terms of perseverance.
Okay, I apologize for doing this because I walked in a little late. If someone on the art committee didn't step in for me to say, if you promised to lend us digital frames, now is the time. We need them. So either at the barbecue or this coming Sunday, if you can bring that in. Thank you.
Which means for the 25 or so people who walked in after the announcement, there is no barbecue this Tuesday. So we are moving to the week following. So bring those frames on Sunday. Others.
I wonder if we can pray for Helen Nagosian, who's in the hospital, being checked for chest pain.
Helen Nagosian in the hospital for chest pain went in last night.
Thanks to all for your kind words and prayers this week as I traveled back to Pennsylvania for my stepmother's funeral. It was a wonderful time with my family. We joked that we thought maybe they were taking the census in Imperial and Clinton because so many people turned out to the funeral home. We had almost 500 people on Wednesday that came to the two separate times. So it was a lot of people really came out to show their love and support for my family. And Carol's family. And so I would like continued prayers for my father, William, or Bill, as he kind of makes his way through life now alone, and he's a bit lost. He does have a lot of support from his church and his friends, so he just needs your prayers. His birthday is next Sunday, so hopefully he can find a bit of celebration in that time. So, and I am traveling on Wednesday to Mexico to attend a wedding, so for some much-needed R&R, so just prayers for safe travels. And my husband is facing a bit of anxiety, so we're hoping that he has a bit of medication, so hopefully we'll have a calm trip on the plane, so just lots of prayers. Thank you.
Lots of prayers for travel in these days. Would also like to ask your prayers for Andrew as he travels back from Bangladesh today. Some of you know, but not everyone knows, that he was hospitalized this week with the same kinds of problems he's had through the years, but he's facing today, leaving around noon our time, travel from Bangladesh back to here on commercial carriers. So please keep him in your prayers that he makes it home safely with that.
Some of you may know that Helen and I share the same birth date, so we call ourselves the twins, May 22nd, Geminis. And I was out working in my garden a few days ago and was messy and muddy. And I get this call from Helen, and she says, I got to come into Radio Shack. Would you like to meet me and have lunch? So I said, okay, sure. So I ran down to Whole Foods and my muddy state, and we had a wonderful lunch together, and she's just such a great joy to me.
She is doing well. She is doing well.
Okay.
Let us pray for all these things near and far, close at home and around the world. Join me in prayer. Gracious God, here in our congregation, we have so many gifts, so many blessings, so many good things, so many joys and celebrations, and times of grief and concern. For John and his surgery, we know also of John Abernathy's brother-in-law's father, who died. We pray indeed for safe travel for Andrew, a long junket on lots of planes. We pray for Helen Nagosian, for the Walden Motors who are awaiting birth of a baby. Celebrations to come, celebrations that we've had, the Bay's successful move. May they have strength to face boxes. For Alika and Andrew, concerns for Zach Sharp, which takes us across the ocean to West Africa and elsewhere. Many deaths from a dreaded virus and illness. And for good physicians and caregivers, some facing treatment and hope for recovery. And then that reminds us of those doctors in our own midst who trek out on mission work, sometimes in dangerous places and risking themselves as these physicians in West Africa do. We pray for Walter and give thanks for hospice care, for Chris's mother's rebound from surgery and her birthday, Sally's recovery and ability to be back with us. And for Lori in her time of grief, but also now time of travel and some recovery and respite. For Julie's brother Jim and his remarkable journey through many years of cancer and his good health now. And then, oh God, back as we scan the world, we can't figure out, so we hope you can, some way out of the Israel-Gaza nightmare. Lots of ill-tempered, stupid people doing great damage, particularly to children. And then, lest we think that we don't engage in those stupidities, we are at that annual anniversary this week of the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Somehow, stay our hands from wanton destruction. and forgive us for the things we do, even when maybe those are things that have to be done. You are a good God. We take you at your word and ask that your word guide our lives. And in the prayer that Jesus taught us, we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children forward for message this morning. I'd also like to invite Danielle and Gordon forward, too, if you would come forward. I didn't warn them, so they may take a little bit longer. Don't worry, you don't have to talk. You don't have to talk. I want to show you guys some things. Can you sit over here? Can you sit? You? Okay. There we go. You guys are going to have to help with this. I'm going to pass some of these out, okay? Can I take you this? Give you some of these to take a look at? Take a look at? Okay. I know that I don't have enough for everybody, so you might have to look on with someone nearby, okay? All right. These are big kids in the congregation. But I want to tell you, does anyone know what these are? What do these look like? Coins. You're right. Coins. They are something called a communion token. And they are really, really old. Can you read some of the dates that are on them? 1741, 1848, and what? In April. Yeah, April 2nd in the date, right? Yes, yes, 1848, and there's another one, right? 1797. Well, the reason I asked Danielle and Gordon up here is because these were a gift to me from Gordon's father when Gordon and Danielle got married in May. He brought these over from Scotland for us because when you used to come to communion in the church in Scotland in those years, in the 1700s and the 1800s, your pastor would visit the house and would ask you questions about how you had lived your life in the last time since the last communion. And if he liked the answers, and they were all he's in those days, if he liked the answer, he would give you one of these tokens to bring to communion on a Sunday when communion was being served. And in order to receive communion, you would turn it into a basket, you would put it into the basket as you came forward to take communion. And if he didn't like the answers, you didn't get to come take communion. But what does that mean? We're going to be talking about that in the bigger church today, and some of those of you who are older than third grade may be hearing some of that too. But he was asking questions like, who is your Lord and Savior? Because when we come to the table, we want to make sure we're remembering that this is a great gift that God has given us to continue to live, to continue to grow in the faith, to continue to be fed by the Spirit of God that is in some very holy mystery happens when we gather around the table with our community of faith. We're going to be talking a lot about this in the next few months. With you all, we have talked about it some with you all, but there's a communion task force that's going to be working together on ways that we can talk about and understand what communion means. And so I want you to think about these tokens, because today we invite people forward to look at themselves and to come to to communion with a willing heart, to experience that love of Jesus Christ and to grow in that. And we don't have communion tokens anymore, but they're a good reminder for us to be reminded that, and some of them have scripture passages on it. Did you see that? Some of them have the scripture passage in Corinthians that says, examine yourselves and know me. Some of them have the scripture passage from John's gospel at the end that says, do you love me? Feed my sheep. So if you love Jesus, do what I have commanded. Feed my sheep, he says. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you call us to your table, that you remind us that our life is in you, and that our love is in you, and that all that we do is because of your presence in our lives. Thank you for these children, for this community, for the ways in which you speak to them and speak to us through them. Bless them as they go forward into class and into the summer. In Jesus we pray. Amen. And I'm going to have you give them back to me because I don't want to lose them all. Thank you. Thank you. They're very valuable. And thank you to Danielle and Gordon for coming forward. And you can ask Gordon about Scotland. He can tell you all about Scotland. So, if you are ages 3 to 3rd grade, you're excused to go down to your classes. Otherwise, please go back and sit with your families for the rest of the service.
Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear what you say to us today. The Old Testament lesson is from Psalm 17, verses 1 through 7 and 15. It's in your Pew Bible on page 470 and the large print Bible on page 610, and it's projected. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From you let my vindication come. Let your eyes see the right. If you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, you will find no wickedness in me. My mouth does not transgress. As for what others do, by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries as your right hand. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied beholding your likeness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Lord, bless this holy scripture, that as we gather around it and hear its words to us, we might be challenged and transformed. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Ah, to be as confident as this psalmist is that he is a righteous man. How many here in the congregation are convinced that you walk blamelessly in all those paths of righteousness? It seemed really appropriate a long time ago when we were looking at the lectionary passages for August to look at this lectionary psalm in the context of how we try to live into the very best that God calls from us as we come to the table of our Lord. And I still believe that. In order for us to enter into thinking about the meaning of communion and this holy mystery that is a gift of God for us, we who are of this Reformed Presbyterian tradition and yet come from so many different backgrounds and practices and understandings of this sacrament. There are most likely as many explanations and reflections on what communion means as there are in people, are there people in this room. And in some of us, there are many understandings of what communion is. As you heard, we are continuing a dialogue to understand that ever more deeply, and particularly as we communicate that Reformed tradition to our children and our youth. Indeed, the church throughout the ages has struggled to define exactly what happens in this great gift that we have been given by our Lord Jesus Christ. And whole denominations have split off around the meaning of the table. And so we come to this lectionary psalm on a communion Sunday. The people of the writers and the organizers of the lectionary didn't necessarily know that this would be a communion Sunday when they wrote this, but we come seeking insight as to what it can help us understand as we are disciples who come to this table, a table which has been prepared for each one of us and for us as a community seeking to follow God's will here in the community and even to the ends of the earth. How then may we reflect on this psalm, which one commentator has called a psalm of savage innocence? I like that. A psalm of savage innocence, as one commentator names it. Someone who so self-righteously understands themselves to be walking blamelessly through God, or to God and with God, that he is able to affirm these high, high qualities to which God calls us. We yearn to come to the table completely honestly, to be as righteous and as holy as we may think we are, and yet we can only do that through the power of Christ. Not by judging the other as to who they are, but by looking deep within ourselves to the places where we fall short of the glory of God. But we're faced here with this lectionary psalm, which is not a psalm of this kind of humility, which calls forth those places in humility for us, recognizing where we need God's healing and transforming power. The psalm we read today moves from a place of self-righteousness when, as Scripture puts it, we are too prone to think too highly of ourselves and not of the other. But this righteousness of God to which the psalmist speaks is not like our own narrow self-righteousness, and it is well beyond our human capacity to comprehend, except through the grace of God. What then can we take from this psalm as we are called to be as we come to the table? In what spirit are we to enter into this sacrament? Perhaps we can best claim the values that the psalm lifts up, Let's ignore for the moment that the psalmist thinks he embodies all those values. But let's look to the values that this psalm speaks to. Hear a just cause, O Lord, the psalm begins. As Martin Luther King Jr. once said, the arc of the universe, God's universe, bends towards justice. Our God is ultimately a God of justice, and God's justice will prevail, even when we cannot see it. We who seek to follow must seek to be humbly on that side of justice, of true justice. And there is nothing quite so equal as the communion table. A table where we are all invited to share in a feast, no matter where we come from places of slavery or freedom, new or long-standing belief, from struggle or joy. And we are all united by this table in this simple and yet very complex reality of God's table for God's people who seek to follow in discipleship. The psalmist says, give ear to prayer from lips free of deceit. We sometimes forget that God knows whether we speak in truth or in lies, and God hears those prayers of honesty and yearns for them from us. One of the most common calls to confession that you hear, I think in Presbyterian churches where I've spent most of my life, is, Lord, if we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. It is so easy for us to see the sin in another, the log in another's eye, than to be caught up and see our own sin or unworthiness. Or we see so much of our unworthiness that we are paralyzed and cannot come to this table for the new life that it brings. Try my heart, the psalmist says, an echo of the faithful heard over and over again in other psalms, perhaps most famously in the beloved Psalm 139. O Lord, you search me and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. Ultimately, we can never deceive God. God knows who we are as no one else does, with all strength and limitations, and God still loves and wills life for all of us. This is the message of Jesus Christ that we celebrate. The psalmist proclaims, I have avoided the ways of the violent. In light of our world situation in these days, that line leaped out at me in new ways as I was preparing for this sermon, reminding us that violence begets violence, as we see so painfully in day-to-day news, story by story. Note that here in this psalm, avoiding ways of violence is seen here as a part of righteousness, as the way of righteous people. It is good that this psalm moves from the beginning part that we read to the end part that we read as well, that we see in it the confidence of the one who knows and calls upon the Lord to bring an answer, to know that God inclines God's ear to God's people and hears our prayer, and the result is God's love shown. A loving sacrifice that we celebrate in this gift of the Lord's Supper, instituted by Jesus himself and commanded that we might share it together as the community that continues as his disciples. Not only to remember, but that is a part of it, but also to be reignited and empowered by his grace through the mysterious power of the Holy Spirit at work in binding a people together, so different on the surface from one another, together in a love and a peace which passes all human understanding. So then we come to this table to be called to our highest selves, out of a place of humility, knowing that all we have, all that we are, is a gift from God, God's only Son. And to bring that highest self, as the scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians, and as I told the children today, examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. John Calvin, the great reformer of our faith, calls the Lord's Supper a high ministry, the food to sustain and preserve us in that life into which he has begotten us by his word. We participate, he says, joyfully and often in the Lord's Supper because we always need Jesus Christ, the life-giving bread. God provides us with this sacrament, this gift, as in Calvin's word, visible signs best adapted to our small capacity. I like that. Visible signs best adapted to our small capacity. A visible expression of the deepest ministry we can know that God loves us so much that we have been saved through his very life itself, sacrificed for us for the forgiveness of sins. Our lives are transformed through this work of Christ, and we are never the same. And we are called to embody that faith that we have received in the great gift of Jesus Christ. Printed on that communion token, look at these precious, precious items, is a verse at the end of John's Gospel from chapter 21. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. We do that as earthen vessels, all too convinced of our humanity and our limitations, yet somehow through it all, God flows in and with us, in our inmost being, in a most mysterious way, sometimes leading us to mountaintops of great triumph for a greater good beyond ourselves, sometimes giving a sense of peace that passes all understanding in a human realm, empowering us to be the people of God that God wants us to be. Communion speaks to us. If we would but bring our full selves to the table, it is a mystery of the faith, beyond our understanding, illuminated and empowered by our Lord through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let us give thanks to God for this indescribable gift. Amen.
Please stand for the affirmation of faith, which comes from the Heidelberg Catechism and is printed in your bulletin. Question 61. Why do you say that through faith alone you are righteous?
Not because I please God by the worthiness of my faith. It is because only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness make me righteous before God. And because I can accept this righteousness and make it mine in no other way than through faith.
Now, giving thanks to God, we are going to receive the tithes and offerings.
I've got a roof over my head. I've got a warm place to sleep. Some nights I lie awake counting gifts instead of counting sheep. I've got a heart that can hold love. I've got a mind that can think. There may be times when I lose the light and let my spirit sink, but I can't stay depressed when I remember how I'm blessed. Grateful, truly grateful I am. Grateful, blessed and duly grateful. In a city of strangers, I've got a family of friends. No matter what rocks and brambles fill the way, I know that they will stay until the end. I feel a hand holding my hand. It's not a hand you can see. But on the road to the promised land, this hand will shepherd me through delight and despair, holding tight and always there. Grateful, grateful, truly grateful I am. Grateful, grateful, truly blessed and duly grateful. It's not that I don't want a lot, or hope for more, or dream of more, but giving thanks for what I've got makes me so much happier than keeping score. In a world that's full of pain, I will still take each chance. Ever the terrain to feed were meant to dance, whatever stone life may sling. We can moan or we can sing. Grateful, grateful, truly grateful I am. Grateful and duly grateful. Truly blessed and duly grateful.
Gracious God, we dedicate these gifts and offerings to you. Pray that you would hear on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Are invited to this table. People will come to sit at table with the Lord our God. Jesus walked along the road with two disciples and was at table with his disciples, and he broke it. They recognized him in a new way at that table. Remembering our Lord Jesus Christ, we celebrate this feast with him. We celebrate and proclaim. Please join with me. Lift up.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Indeed.
Let us pray. Jesus, who shared our weakness and was tempted in every way as we are, he came to earth that we and all people in your spirit, that day and for all time. Now give us your spirit in the breaking of bread and the sharing of the cup, so that by your power we may be drawn together and made one with Christ Jesus, who is. Take these common elements that they might be spirit-filled purpose. In Christ and through Christ we pray. Bread and share one cup, world, seeing his death for the sins of the world and telling his resurrection for all peoples and all nations. The disciples, after giving thanks, he broke his body, broken for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me.
Cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant. Sealed, do this blood. Whenever you drink it, do this. You proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." The gifts of God to the people of God.
We will celebrate communion in the cup, spirit in which God calls us to do so. Let us. Gratitude for this moment, this out to live to you, O God. Take us out to live the living bread and cannot remain this. Expect much from us. Enable much by us. Encouraging all through us. So may we live to your glory here on earth. Amen. Join together in our final hymn in your small hymnal.
In the blessing, in the bringing, in the...
Now let us go forth as a people of God. And now to the one who is and preaches to strengthen you according to the gospel and preaching, wise God, be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be today and forevermore.